Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, our text comes from the Holy Gospel lesson, but it's not the entire lesson. We're going to be focusing on John 3, 14 to 17, those verses. So this morning, we have before us one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It seems like most people know John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This famous verse oftentimes is placed right in the center, and it's the only part of the conversation. But this verse is found in a discussion Jesus is having with Nicodemus, a Jewish theologian. And in the two verses prior to this, verses 14 and 15, Jesus asked Nicodemus to remember an event from the wilderness journeys of the children of Israel under the leadership of Moses. Now, if you've ever watched the movie Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, and I'm probably dating myself there, the role of Moses was played by Charlton Heston. You'll remember the children of Israel were set free from slavery in Egypt after 10 plagues attacked the validity and power of the Egyptian gods. The children of Israel left Egypt in a joyous parade, loaded down with gifts of gold and animals and precious goods. Then they came to the Red Sea, when a cloud of dust told them Pharaoh had changed his mind. His mighty military, horse and chariot army were in hot pursuit. God rescued them. Moses raised his hands and the sea parted. They walked across on dry land. When the Egyptians followed, the seas swallowed them up. At Mount Sinai, they worshiped God and Moses received the Ten Commandments. After leaving Mount Sinai, they traveled like nomads in the desert. For 40 years, they traveled from oasis to oasis. Miraculously, their shoes never wore out. They had manna for every day, and God provided water from a rock. But as people want to do, the Bible tells us they became impatient. They spoke against God and against Moses, saying, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread. There is no water. We detest this miserable food, manna." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them, and many Israelites died. The people came crying to Moses, "We have sinned. Ask God to take away the snakes." God told Moses to make a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Anyone bitten can look at the pole and live. And it was so. Don't ask me how it worked. I have no idea. I, like Moses, simply see it as another miracle of God. No different than the crossing of the Red Sea. No different than fresh water flowing from a rock. No different than manna for food every day. The point? God acted in love to save his people from the poison which resulted in death. God said, "Look up and live." The bite of sin is death. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church in Rome. "Just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all people because all have sinned." Our acts of disobedience bring death. You know it to be true. I know it to be true. On our own, no one is righteous. So Jesus, in verse 14 and 15, tells Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. But what exactly does it mean to believe? Belief has an object. Our worldly culture would like you to detach belief from an object. What really counts is that you have believing feelings. By the way of illustration, I have faith that a chair will hold me. The object of my faith is the chair. You have faith that when you sit down in the pew, you believe the pew will hold you up. I remember when I had hip surgery. In the time following the surgery, I had to use a walker for a while. You know the kind. They have the wheels, so you can hold on to the handles for extra support, but have mobility. And they even have a chair portion to sit on and carry things. They even have little handbrakes that you can use to slow down this mobile walker. You can even lock it in place. I remember I had the chair at my side. I knew the chair would hold me. I was being visited by someone, and I was holding in one hand a cup of coffee and something in the other hand. I turned to see if the chair was right behind me. It was. When I went to sit down, the chair moved, and I fell flat on my back, and coffee flew everywhere. After I got back to my feet, I thought, I knew the chair would hold me. I knew it was right behind me. But I forgot to grab the chair with my hand. Jesus has offered himself as the way of salvation. His death on the cross brought forgiveness and the promise of eternal life to those who would grab hold of him. Hebrews 9:27 reads, Christ was sacrificed at once to take away the sins of many. Jesus was telling Nicodemus that Jesus must be the object of belief. Jesus' life and sacrificial death on the cross satisfied God's wrath against sin. Forgiveness is offered to all who believe, who trust, making Jesus the object of their faith. Like the walker, the cross on which Jesus was lifted is a historical fact. You can read about the cross. You can read about Jesus. You can see the cross. But to experience peace and harmony with God, one must grab hold of Jesus. Like the walker, the chair was visible, real object, ready to hold me. But only when I grabbed the handlebars did the walker remain stable enough to hold me. The sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross must be grabbed, held on to by faith. In the wilderness, the people were dying because of their rebellion. They needed help. They turned back to God, and God's mercy gave them an object in which to place their trust. Those who trusted, looked up at the pole, lived. So our text this morning reads, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever, that's you and me, believes in him, grabs onto him, may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus must be the object of our faith. And the tangible result of our belief in Jesus is forgiveness and peace with God and eternal life with him in heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Those are strong words when you live in a pluralistic culture. People will say, how arrogant to believe that Christians alone have the only true religion. Our neighbors, coworkers, friends come from different backgrounds. They seem just as moral and religious as we are. In a climate of relativism, which means that many people assume that truth, morality, and religion are relative, according to this way of thinking, people can construct their own morality and create their own beliefs about God. Just saying someone believes in God no longer means that they know the God of the Bible, who took upon himself human flesh and bone in the person of Jesus. Jesus was clear to Nicodemus. When people believed in his death on the cross, they would find forgiveness. When Jesus said, "I am the way," he meant that he was the only road one can travel if one wants to be with God. I had business associates who would tell me, "There are different roads, but they all arrive at the same destination." Different roads do not always go to the same destination. If you're trying to get to the Grand Canyon in Arizona, you will never get there if you go north on Interstate 95, no matter how sincere you are in your driving. All religions do not state that they are paths to heaven. Most Eastern religions, such as Hinduism, Buddhism, and westernized New Age versions, all reject that the final destination of a believer is heaven. The very concept of heaven, the place where the individual soul and resurrected body dwells in a state of perfect joy for all eternity with God, living forever, is distinctly a Christian belief. It is said that there are two religions in the world, those that teach that we are saved by our own efforts or a combination of our own goods, good works, and some help from God. I think of Laura's analogy with the pillows and a little help from God. Only one teaches we are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Only Jesus offers forgiveness for sin and bad behavior against a holy and righteous God. His death on the cross and confirmed by his physical resurrection from death guarantees that God the Father has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Belief not only has an object, but belief also has a tangible result. When the children of Israel trusted the words of Moses and believed, looked up the pole the bronze snake had been placed on, they were saved from death. Jesus said, "All who look to him, lifted on the cross, and believe, they shall be saved from eternal death and receive eternal life." Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to the promise of God's, that God forgives, forgiveness is offered at the cross of Jesus. For on that cross, God nailed all our sins, all the commandments that we have broken, and left them there. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, God sees us holy and without blemish, free to stand before his holy throne. Through the body and blood, we receive in and under the bread of wine. Our sins are forgiven. God sees us holy and without blemish. There is no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved. There is only one. Hold on to Jesus, the object of your faith. Amen.